Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
Oaks is going to keep it. Roll to his left. He's got blockers in front. He cuts it inside in for a touchdown. Did he get there? They're going to say at the one, the ball came loose. It goes into the end zone. The Argos recover. Touchdown, Argos. Woo. I think Delta knocked it loose as Stokes got into the air. Marcus lost the handle, but the Argos, Johnny on the spot. I was trying to see who came up with it. They're slapping helmets on Jake Robinette, the tight end, I believe, came up with the football. The Argos get their touchdown from 5 yards out. It's a weird play, but it counts for six regardless.
There you go. Argos getting off start early, 7-0 against Delta State on Saturday at home for homecoming. And as you heard, a very weird play where they had it, they didn't have it. They tipped it, they got it. They're like, oh, it's a touchdown. Woo! Delta State.
Jay Sharp back in the game on the left shoulder of Stokes. They'll pull it. Marcus is going to run it. He's got a hole. Yeah. Stokes in for the touchdown.
Quarterback keeper for Marcus Stokes made it 13-0. They failed to get the point after. They've been having kicking problems all year. Delta State has the ball.
It's a first down. It's the first down of the game for Delta State. They'll run it, and the Argos don't get him down on the ground. Up the middle, Kelvin Smith, he's going to be gone. Kelvin Smith is going to take this thing 66 yards to the house, and just like that, Delta State's right back in the game.
Three plays. That made it 13-7 toward the end of the first quarter. Beginning of the second quarter, Delta State again.
Big third down. Third and four on a Key Insurance third down. Kirk back to pass. Flags fly.
Oh,
is it a free play? Touchdown to Jalen Green. And I think the Argos jumped, so this is going to stand.
It did indeed. That was 14-13. Delta State was ahead. Always a tough Gulf South Conference opponent for us. But then some interesting things happened right toward the end of the half with a minute 15 to go. UWF.
Big third down play. Jackson Blaylock comes in motion. Two receivers. Heavy formation. Stokes keeps it. Stokes. He's going to get into the end zone. Marcus Stokes gets his touchdown. And the Argos retake the lead.
So a minute 15 to go in the half. UWF is back up 20-14. And you would think, well, that's probably how the half is going to end. No. No, because Delta State managed to cough up the ball just, you know, three and out. Okay. And so back to UWF with like 30 seconds to go. One play, nothing. Second play.
But it's going to be second and short. Got to get this playoff fast.
20 seconds in the half.
Yep, two plays called, I'm sure. Got to get rid of the football. He does. Oh, Jacoby Quillen off the tip. Touchdown, Argos.
Wow.
Oh, my.
What a finish to the half.
The defender looked like he was the only guy that had a play on it, but all he got was fingertips. And the old Oski, this time a receiver, grabs it. Jacoby Quillen, who got his first action last week, has come up big in this first half. And the Argos are up 26-14.
14 points in a minute of clock time. That's the offense we've been waiting for all year for the Argos. So that made it 27-14 at the half. Delta State got a quick score. Well, not quite so quick, but it was a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. So they made it 27-21. They were behind. And at the beginning of the fourth quarter, again, Delta State, down by six.
Cole Kirk under center. No, they put him back in the gun again. I like from here, I'd go QB sneak and do it close. He's going to keep it, puts his head down. Gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Delta. Cole Kirk puts the helmet down, pushes the defender back, and ties this game up at 27.
Now, I had not been listening to the whole game. We had gotten into the car right at that time from paddleboarding, and I'm like, no. So all I knew was we were ahead, and then we were not ahead. And I'm like, oh. So 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Delta State has just gone on top by 1 point over UWF at homecoming. The next play, they get a penalty, an offsides on the kickoff, so the Argos start at their own 30, so 70 yards to go.
Stokes brings the offense out. Two people in the backfield with him, one of them tied in on his right shoulder. They'll bring Zach Offord in motion. Back to pass. He's got time. He's throwing it deep. He's got a man. Corey Scott, if he can get to it, he does. He's going to run away from the defender. Touchdown, Argos. Just like that, they're back in front.
Wow, great throw. Catch right there.
One play, 70 yards. Argos are back on top by five at this point because of weirdness with trying to get two extra, you know, because they're down up by five. They'd just soon be up by seven. So they wind up by five at that point. 5 minutes later in the game.
Take some shots. Oh, a little play fake. He's trying to find somebody. He's got his man. If he can get it there, Corey Scott, touchdown, Argos. That combo again, Marcus Stokes to number three. Corey Scott and the Argos are lighting it up here on a Saturday night in Pensacola. How about a chest bump with your defensive coordinator from the quarterback?
There you go. Love it. Love it.
And that was your final 40-28. The Argos advanced to a 3-2 overall record, 2-1 in the conference. And it was just... it was nice to see some big, long play offense from the Argos, which has really been lacking all this year. So, well done. Meanwhile, John, how much football did you watch this weekend? I know you're a big Ole Miss fan, but, you know, and I'm sorry about all that.
It's okay. It's okay.
You got the field goal, and they got the touchdown, and that was overtime, right?
Yeah, it was over.
In a weird, bizarre, back-and-forthy kind of game, you know, stressful, unpleasant. Oh, I want to add an asterisk. Remember our conversation we had week or two ago about would you rather win lose a close game than win a blowout?
I was just about to bring that up.
Okay, I want to add an asterisk. It depends who you're playing. I mean, like, I'm an Auburn fan. If we're playing Alabama, I do not care how it happens. You know, if it's right. if it's for the Super Bowl, I do not care how it happens. You know, if it's my team in a big situation or against a rival you really despise, you know, like if it's anybody playing Ohio State, I want it to be embarrassing. I do not care. Right. Actually, I shouldn't say that because the Ohio-Oregon game was fantastic. And I'm still an Oregon fan, having lived there for 2 years. That was amazing. And Ohio, but the best part about that game was Ohio lost the game. Oregon didn't really win the game. Ohio lost the game by clock mismanagement through several plays right at the end. And you're like, what did you just – oh, this is going to be a hard week. It's going to be a hard week. Alabama barely won their game. I know Illinois, I went to Illinois, they were up by a lot, and then they were down, and then field goal to get into overtime. A lot of overtime games over the weekend, too. So, anyway, congratulations, LSU.
Ouch.
I don't know.
Boy, that hurt.
We got LSU listeners too, you know. It's all right. We got Alabama listeners, you know. You know, my team was idle, so I can just be quiet. 4-3-7-16-20. Oh, and then probably the weirdest story from the weekend is at the Trump rally in Coachella.
Oh, that's right.
You have some dude shows up in an unregistered car with a fake license plate, with a fake driver's license, with fake multiple passports, a shotgun, and a handgun with what they're calling a high-capacity magazine. I'm sure it's like a Glock with a 17-round mag or something like that. You know, a very standard. They make it sound like, because as soon as when you hear high-capacity magazine, what you're kind of acculturated to thinking is, oh God, it's a 45-round banana mag for an AK-47. It's probably because it's a shotgun and a handgun. It's probably for the handgun. It's probably like a 17-round, just a very standard, magazine size for a handgun that's a double stack. But they make it sound all sinister because it's California, right? Where, you know, they have laws, high capacity magazine, you know, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, but still super weird that he gets through a checkpoint, but not through the second checkpoint. And never got to the interior Secret Service checkpoint.
He showed up with multiple passports with different names, an unregistered vehicle with fake license plate, and loaded firearms. He did not make it into the event. He made it to our interior perimeter that was maybe 100, 200 yards away from the actual interior perimeter. So he didn't get to the point where Secret Service would find him. We identified him, detained him, and eventually arrested him before he got to the actual event entrance.
That's the sheriff of the county there, Chad Bianco. And is this kind of funny the way he did not make it to the interior. Like, they've gunned him down in the street, and they just didn't pass him on through. And then, in my opinion, the weirdest part of the story is, we let him go on $5,000 bond. you know, pony up $5,000, you can go, sir, no big deal. It would seem like that collage of things at a presidential rally. Now, he says he's a Trump supporter, and just everywhere he goes, he carries guns, which, if that's all it had been, I mean, anybody who has guns, you know that you've probably by mistake gone somewhere you shouldn't have gone with a gun.
I have no comment. I've got no comment, bro.
And I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think I ever have, but you get close because you forget. You know, I'll give you a dumb example, okay? Every time I go to the base, I have to actively remember, oh, I can't take my gun to the base. Because you can't take your gun to the base, okay? So if you're used to having a gun in the glove box, or if you're used to, not that you should, okay? If you're used to having a gun on you, that you should. you know, because glove box, you don't want to leave it in the car, is what I'm getting at. There are times when you would sort of, oh, that's right, I'm not supposed to have that by the school. Or, I went to the, you know, went to the Auburn game on Saturday, the Auburn FSU doubleheader baseball game. And I actually sat there and thought, can I take my gun? I guess I probably can't take my gun. And sure enough, they had metal detectors, so you can't take your gun inside the Wahoo Stadium. But that kind of thing. So a guy with guns getting stopped at a rally is not, well, guns plural. It's a shotgun and a handgun. It's not like he had an AR. And even if he did, okay, whatever. That's not the part that's weird. It's the fake driver's license, fake plate, fake or multiple passports in an unregistered car. That concerns me. And, oh, sure, here you go, sir. Free to go. Have a good time. See you in a little while for your court date. I don't understand that part. That seems like more of a detainer kind of situation to me. But, whatever. It's California.
So. It is California.
It's definitely California. 437-1620, 437-1620. Boeing is cutting 10% of its workforce as their defense unit struggles. $2 billion loss in the third quarter in 3 months. So that's not great. And then also they're still on strike, I think. Boeing is still on strike. So you strike. We can't make our deadlines. We lose a lot of money. Oh, look, time to cut back some workforce. You and you and you and you. You know the ones right there on that line? Bye-bye. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but it's bad. I always feel extra connection to Boeing because we lived in St. Louis for a long time. My mother-in-law had worked at Boeing. You know, and one of my best friends had worked at Boeing out in Seattle. So, you know, I always feel a little bit connected to them. Also, just as a sort of general matter, anytime a major defense contractor suffers, I always think that's bad for the United States. Now, I know you can accuse them of bad practices, and of course Boeing on the commercial side has had some stuff, okay? And these weren't like jets, was not where they lost money, but some of the I think it's like KC-130s or something, it's like their tankers and stuff, but in any case, I always think of, you've got to have the industrial capacity to thrive and produce as a military power, and I'm always thinking of the Chinese and what they're doing, and the United States and what we're doing, and we have a big military-industrial base, but we don't have a lot of names in the military-industrial base. And so when a major name has major losses, I always think, hope that's not bad for us, because when you lose that capacity, then you're behind if you ever need to have more of stuff. Just like how we don't have a lot of shipbuilding capacity, even though we do have it along the Gulf Coast and sort of up in the Northeast, we don't have it. And we have problems with it, like the weird welds, you know, and the cracked hulls, and it's not great, even though it's there. 437-1620. John, you doing okay with the Ole Miss thing? You recovered yet? It's two in a row, right, for you?
Two in a row.
Was losses? When was the loss when you went to the game?
I went to Kentucky game, yeah. And that was a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Long distant history for you.
But
still.
We won against South Carolina.
Okay, in between.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. All right. Yeah. I will say one just weird little note. You know, the AP Top 25 for college football is out, and with the loss, Ohio State dropped to number 4. And I actually agree with that. I hate this thing where, like, the number 2 and the number 3 play, and it's 1-point game. They could just stay 2 and 3. I mean, that's very reasonable. You know, like, when you're the number 1 team and you play the number 3 team, and the number 3 team loses by a field goal, I mean, you lost to the number 1 team. Why do you have to go down in the rankings just because you lost? Like, you showed well. I don't know. I always think that's weird the way those things work out. 524 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Gary, you've got to take the stage.
No, I can't upstage Alec Baldwin. He's the best actor in the world.
You have to try. I'm not that good.
It's a great, like, it's a great movie in parts, Team America World Police. I wouldn't say it's a great movie. I would say there are parts of that movie. It's kind of like Borat, you know? It's a great movie in parts. It is not a great movie. And much like Borat, it's a movie there are parts of which you wish you could unsee. Just say there's, you can do things with dolls that, you know, I wish I could unsee. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne from the Batcave.
That's right.
Doing all right over there, David?
I'm doing okay. All right. Doing all right.
Dark room over there. What's going on in the newsroom,
what's
sir?
In the dark will soon come to light.
Oh,
that's
I
what
see.
I've always
all
heard.
Right.
Power is slowly coming back to Central Florida. In the aftermath of Hurricane Milton, state officials say about 440,000 customers are still without power. Crews from across the U.S. have been brought in to help reconnect the hurricane victims. Kind of a weird case out of Colorado. Human remains found in a freezer in a Colorado home have now been identified. This is in Mesa County, Colorado. Deputies were called to a home. This was back in January. Apparently, the home had just been sold. The deputies were called to a home. They found a human head and hands in the freezer.
Oh.
But DNA testing has now been done. And they identified the remains as 16-year-old Amanda Overstreet, apparently the daughter of the home's previous owner.
Oh.
And there's no record that she had ever been reported missing.
Oh, no. That's, no. Okay, go. Give me something else.
Sure. Well, how about a happier note?
Thank you.
SpaceX successfully launched its Starship rocket on Sunday. The FAA issued the company a new license after requiring SpaceX to limit harm to the environment during liftoff. And after blastoff, the Starship Super Heavy booster rocket was able to successfully return to the launch tower.
Okay. I still can't get that other. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Have you? Oh, by the way, before you go, did you get to see the comet last night?
I did.
You did?
I did. Yes.
It's Western Horizon at sunset.
Yeah, yeah, it was and it was still very light out to be able to see
it,
too.
Yeah, it's pretty bright when you can see it, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I know they showed a time lapse, but it's pretty slow moving. Like, it's not going to be, you're not going to see it moving, right?
No, you see it moving.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And then after looking it up and seeing how far away it is, I'm amazed that you can see this at all.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. And for like the rest of the month, right? So
I think so.
I think
yeah.
So. John, did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, I'm the only one that was
I know.
Left out. So could have seen it if I'd have known to look. We'd just gotten done paddleboarding, and I was too busy thinking, nah, it's kind of a crummy sunset, which it kind of was. It was all hazy, you know, like, but probably if I'd have known to look, I would have. All right, second round. Did you see the Aurora Borealis the other night?
I did not.
The purple night sky to the north? John, you did.
I did, yeah.
Great, that's 0 for 2 for me. We were on our walk. We like looked deliberately, you know. And my wife, we got to the northern part of our subdivision, and she's like, can you see it? And I'm like, I don't know if it's just the highway or if it's purple. And she's like, yeah, same here. So, you know, lucky for you. Must be nice. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I feel terrible now. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, by the way, back to the Auburn-FSU game. Auburn won both games. With a Catholic High player playing for Auburn. That was really fun. It was fun. It was different. The flyover from Training Wing 5 out of Whiting Field was kind of cool. The T6 Texans, they're very quiet. You know, if you're used to a jet flyover, you're like, oh, where is it coming from? Oh, there it is! And they sneak up on you. And had I not known it was coming, I would have totally missed it on the camera. But because I knew it was coming, I'm like, where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Ah, there it is.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The suspect arrested at the Donald Trump rally this weekend in Coachella, California, says he's a Trump supporter.
Police say he was driving an unregistered black SUV with a homemade license plate, and he claimed to be a journalist that had VIP access. But when deputies searched his car, they eventually found a shotgun, a loaded handgun, and ammunition.
Fox's Brooke Singman, another Trump campaign, telling Fox News Digital that they don't think it was an assassination attempt. A U.S. missile system sent to Israel.
The U.S. is also providing troops who will operate the THAAD system in Israel. It will help protect Israel from future ballistic missile attacks by Iran or any of its proxies. Israel is still considering its response to Iran's ballistic missile strike nearly 2 weeks ago.
That is Fox's Nate Foy reporting in Tel Aviv. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got mostly clear skies, 68 degrees in Pensacola. Two people were shot yesterday morning at Chimes Way Park. That's near North W Street. Happened about 3 a.m. on Sunday. Two victims were taken to local hospitals with injuries. Right now there's no word on either of their conditions. Deputies say they were able to find multiple shell casings at the scene. There is, so far, no word on suspects. An investigation is ongoing. Well, the 10th annual Dragon Boat Races are in the books. That's put on by Sertoma Pensacola, an organization that raises money for community service projects. The races happened Saturday at Bayou Tahar. There were 26 teams this year, and organizers say turnout was the biggest they've had since COVID back in 2020. Well, Florida will recover from these recent storms and rebuild even stronger. That over the weekend from Senator Rick Scott in Pinellas County, who met with President Biden. They toured St. Pete Beach to assess the damage of Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Scott said he appreciates the president and other federal officials coming to Florida, but the federal government needs to show up every day. He also urged President Biden to call on Congress to come back to Washington ASAP and pass needed disaster funding. An Escambia County home considered to be a total loss after a fire over the weekend. That happened in the 500 block of South 2nd Street in Warrington. Multiple Escambia fire units were called to the scene where heavy flames and smoke were visible from the home. It took firefighters about a half an hour to put the fire out. Nobody was hurt. Two adults and a dog have been displaced. Well, a search is underway for a man that went missing while swimming in St. John's County. St. John's Fire Rescue says a 20-year-old went missing yesterday while swimming at Mickler's Beach. Multiple agencies, including the Coast Guard, are involved in a search for that person. A woman accused of murdering her boyfriend goes to trial today in Orange County. Sarah Boone's 42-year-old boyfriend was found dead in a suitcase in their apartment 4 years ago. The 47-year-old suspect originally claimed he'd zipped himself inside the suitcase while drunk. Now, though, she'll argue that she has battered spouse syndrome. Boone is charged with second-degree murder and could get more than 20 years if she's convicted. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing plenty of sunshine today with a high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. A bit cooler on Tuesday, plenty of sunshine, high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Wednesday, high near 71 degrees and a low near 53 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 68 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SpaceX has launched its fifth test flight of its Starship rocket. The company successfully used the arms of its launch tower to catch the rocket's booster. This is a major milestone towards SpaceX's goal of making Starship a fully reusable rocket system. Starship continued on into space, traveling halfway around the world before splashing down in the Indian Ocean. Boeing plans to lay off about 10% of its workers in the coming months as it continues to lose money and tries to deal with a strike that is crippling production of the company's best-selling airline planes. CEO Kelly Ortberg told staff in a memo that job cuts will include executives, managers, and employees. Delta Airlines has suspended hot meal service on more than 200 flights out of its Detroit metropolitan Wayne County Airport hub over the past several days because of a food safety issue. Customers affected by the problem were given frequent flyer miles or travel vouchers. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary. And you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride.
on my big green tractor.
I do love the Peanuts part of that. 5:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Last week, we had a chance to catch up with Ryan Jenkins, our good friend and farmer up in Jay, Florida, especially with the devastation that we've had just this last week from Hurricane Milton. But Helene, before that, we talked quite a bit about that with him. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. It's always good to talk to you. I had a couple of things I wanted to ask you before we get into just kind of update with you and the farm. The first one, and I know this has been on everybody's mind, especially as they listen to you and they've learned so much listening to you for the last couple of years talk about impact of weather on farming. Hurricane Helene carved a path through the Big Bend area, and we know that the crop damage is likely to have been massive from that, but you are much more closely connected to that whole community. What has been your assessment as you've been talking to your friends and getting input from them and seeing them recover? You know, you tell us what was the effect of Helene?
Well, luckily for us, there was no effect. So we're very, very thankful for that. But I do have lots of friends scattered throughout the Southeast, and I've talked to many of them, and it was horrific. It was very bad. You know, a lot of them lost their crops. A lot of them lost all of their crops. You know, depending on where they were, cotton really is just demolished. Peanuts, you know, they did okay, but there's going to be quality issues with them. The pecan tree growers, you know, there's a lot of pecan trees and stuff in Georgia. And, you know, those orchards were just, there's nothing left. All the trees are on the ground, you know. That takes years and years and years and years and years to build and to be prosperous with those. So I really feel for those guys, but they've taken a beating over there. You know, they had, was it Debbie that was a month or so before that? Well, they've had two or three major storms in that area, within the last 12 months. So they've really taken a beating and they're hurting bad. It's very sad.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to ask you, cause I had not known about the pecans, but you're right. I mean, a tree, you know, it's one thing to lose a round of crops, right? Like the cotton, because the bowls are open or whatever. That's right. One thing, but you know, losing the trees in your orchard because of a storm like that, and that's years to recover if ever. So obviously big effects to cotton, effects to peanuts, huge effects to pecans. Any other particular crops in northeastern or, you know, I don't know, the panhandle of Florida and or Georgia or North Carolina that you know about?
Not that I've talked to. You know, most of the corn would have already been harvested, so that was a blessing. And then what few soybeans there are, if they were in the path there, where the most destruction took place, they're going to be damaged greatly as well.
Okay. And you know, just looking at the path of Milton as it's going to come across central Florida, I'm assuming that the big concern there is going to be citrus of all kinds, avocado, maybe. You tell me. You know that area. You know, generally a lot more than I would.
Well, there's still lots of fruit and vegetable growers in that area, as well as some peanut growers. Mm. Typically, their peanut harvest is coming close to an end. They start roughly a month earlier than we do. So maybe most of their peanuts will have been harvested, but they're still, you know, the further you get in South Florida, they grow vegetables year-round. So there's going to be lots of that to have to deal with as well.
Well, you know, it's tough, especially as you and I have talked after the last couple of years, and particularly last year that was so rough, you know, to have something like this happen to folks is very difficult to hear about. What are you in the middle of? What are you working on right now? We got cotton and peanuts coming in right now?
Well, it's absolutely my most favorite time of the year. It's harvest season. We finally get our report card, you know, and get to see how good we did. We are harvesting peanuts and cotton. However, this year, that it's, you know, it's all weather related, and you never know. You always try to plan it right on the front end, and you never know how the back end's going to come out. But the crops are overlapping more this year. Seems like the peanuts are maybe 2 or 3 weeks late, and the cotton's 2 or 3 weeks early. So there's going to be a lot of harvest overlap, which makes it very difficult for for all of us. A lot of come early, stay late days, even more so than usual, and just a higher stress level in general. Because, you know, when those crops are ready to be harvested, every day they sit in the field is a day that you're losing weight or you're losing grade, or a day that you're getting closer to a rain event, which could take a lot of your crop, or, you know, God forbid, a hurricane or something like that. So, you know, you want to get them out as in a timely manner as possible. So it's a stressful deal, but it's a good stress, and it's fun, and it's what I love.
It seems to me as a layman, listening to your description, that harvest time, especially where it's kind of, you know, a more challenging season than it has been in the past because of the overlapping, it seems like that would be the highest stress point of the whole year, because you're right on the verge of payoff and everything could still go horribly wrong all of a sudden. And you just, it's exciting, but it's also horrifying and terrifying all at the same time. Am I getting roughly the sense of it?
100%. You've got the sense of it. And I don't know. You feel like you know, everybody's at least seen NASCAR and knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You feel like you're in a NASCAR pit stop 24 hours a day. You just feel like it's just running as fast as you can run. You're trying to plan out your every move. So if I can do two things at one time, that's what I'll do. And it's very high paced and high stress, but it's one of the more fun parts of the job for me.
Well, I know you as an Auburn fan will hate this analogy, but for the moment, thinking of yourself as an Alabama fan, you want it to be last week against Georgia and not this week against Vanderbilt.
Right, exactly.
Hey, I did want to ask you, you've got a friend, I think, who is working on a really serious problem that afflicts farmers, something that you and I have talked a little bit about, mental health with farmers, all of the challenges, the stresses, the debt, the, you know, inadequate crop years, just the all of it. And you've got a friend who's actually dealing with the pretty serious side of this, right?
Yeah, well, he's a Farm Bureau friend of mine. I'm very active in Farm Bureau, and he's also a firefighter as well. So he's got the first responder background, just mm-hmm. like I do. And he realized the need of this. He realized that mental health in agriculture is a problem. You know, we've talked on here that the suicide rate for a farmer is about 3.5 times higher than just your normal everyday citizen, right? So it's a big problem. Just like we talked a while ago, and we're kind of joking around about how much I love the stress and all that. Well, it is a real thing. It's a very, very stressful thing. And right now, the economics of agriculture are as bad as they've ever been. Everybody is struggling literally just to survive. And I can't emphasize that enough. American agriculture is on the brink of destruction right now. And we could talk for days about this. But he thought about how bad, you know, mental health was in agriculture. And he realized, being a farmer himself, that, you know, when you're sitting in there in that tractor and everything's going right, your mind goes crazy. You know, if you've got something to occupy your mind, something's going wrong, you're having to watch something, you're having to listen to something, it's not so bad. But when everything's going right and you're just going from one end of the field to the other, your mind wanders. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of farmers do the most of their thinking at, right? I mean, it's where we're comfortable at. It's our office. It's where we like to sit and look at things and think about things. So he came up with, this is where a lot of bad thoughts can happen as well. And I'll ask you, you know, if someone came to you and said, hey, you know, this is an abbreviated version, but hey, I'm thinking about committing suicide, or I just can't deal with this anymore. Would you know what to do? Would anybody that's listening to me know what to do? And as I presented that question in different meetings, very, very rarely does anyone ever raise their hand and say, yes, I know what to do with that situation. So 988, that's the National Suicide Hotline. That's for everybody. It's not just for farmers. It's for anyone that's having a mental health problem at the time. So call 988. So he came up with these stickers that are in the shape of they look like a tractor. You know, it says basically it's okay to ask for help. Farmers aren't good at asking for help. And it has the 988 number on there. And he's partnered with tractor dealerships across the state. So they're putting these stickers inside of all the tractors that they sell just for a little reminder, hey, you're not alone. It's okay. Everybody has problems. If it's really bad, call this number. And I think it's such a cool campaign. And, you know, it just means a lot that someone thought about that.
Yeah.
And then not only came up with the idea, but brought it to fruition to where now it's beginning to impact people. So just putting that out there for everybody. It's a kind of a proud moment when you hear something good. There's so much bad going on, and this is, I just feel like, something that's really going to be good for agriculture. And it's really, really taken off. So,
and I know that's amazing. I mean, it's a very smart idea because it's right at that moment of crisis in the opportune situation where you're, like you say, thinking most about it. So, wow, that's somebody trying to help solve a problem that we know is a very, very widespread problem. Ryan Jenkins, I always like to end with a fun fact or something like this. It's World Cotton Day, by the way, today. I think you were the one who told me that. I don't want to make it sound like I'm the innovator. But you got a fun fact for us today?
I do. It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So in 2015, a study showed that people that frequently ate peanuts were 2 to 3 times less likely to get breast cancer than those that didn't eat peanuts. And in addition to this, there are studies that show that young women ages 9 to 15 that eat peanut products 3 times or more per week lower their risk of benign breast disease by almost 40%. So there you go. Everybody that's listening, eat more peanuts. Do yourself a favor.
You always say eat more peanuts, and now it's really a health measure as well. What a great statistic. I had not heard that before, and, you know, I lost my mom to breast cancer, so I, you know, consider myself relatively informed. So very interesting. Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us every first Monday of every month to talk about farm stuff. Ryan, as always, thank you for feeding my kids, putting clothes on their back, keeping us informed, and for continuing to do what you and your family and your friends have been doing for generations, and we just so easily forget about it. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for helping us tell our story.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about selling a car, buying a car, or both, which could be the case, Frontier Motors is a great place to do either. Now, I know I talk a lot about them as a great place to buy cars, having, you know, 300 or so good quality used cars on the lot at any moment. But if they're going to sell a quality cars, you know, 1 to 4 or 5 years old with maybe 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles on them for good prices and great condition that they warranty up to 100,000 miles. If they're going to sell those cars, they have to buy those cars. So if you have one of those cars, they will buy that car from you. It takes about 15 minutes. No problem. They offer you a price. You like it. You sell it. You're done. A little bit easier than going on Facebook Marketplace, meeting some stranger out at the Walmart parking lot and hoping they come back with your car. Also, if you sell them a car, maybe you want a higher price, but you don't mind waiting, you can consignment sell it through them. And, you know, then the end customer comes along, and if they're willing to pay that price, then you get that car for an even better price for you. It might take a little bit longer, but there's no commission. There's no special fee. There's nothing. They didn't need the inventory, so they'll gladly put that out for you. Either way, Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars or to sell them. Serving the Pensacola area for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right, Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program, and when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd. Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Morning news? I don't know. This is definitely not my motto song. In fact, probably Don Henley helped shape me as a news person to not be into all of the, you know, weird, lurid kind of stuff. I mean, we report on it, but I pretty much all you hear about the crazy, you know, crime stories are when I'm talking to the sheriffs. From me. I mean, you might hear about them from David because it is in the news, but you don't hear me talk about it. You know the reason I don't talk about, like, weird crime stories an awful lot? I mean, especially the, you know, bad ones. I don't have anything to say. The way I prep my show, this may come as a surprise to you. I don't prepare myself to talk about things about which I don't have anything to say. I instead find the things I have something to say about. So, you know, if I have something to say about it, then you'll hear about it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, I know you mentioned this one a little bit ago, but a Las Vegas man facing charges after being arrested near former President Trump's rally in Southern California over the weekend. The Riverside Sheriff's Office says 49-year-old Vern Miller had multiple guns. What'd you say? He had an extended clip?
They said a high-capacity magazine, but I feel comfortable speculating that's probably just a double-stack magazine for the pistols, my guess.
Well, anyway, he was taken into custody right before the rally and very quickly, it seems, released on bail.
Yeah. Yeah, here you go. Catch and release.
No big deal.
No worries. You know, whatever. Just leave the license plates and the fake passports with us and I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's just a very strange...
Here's your shotgun back. Don't give it to Tim Walz. He doesn't know what to do with it. Did you see the video? You see the video of Tim Walz, like...
No, I didn't see that one.
A guy who allegedly carried weapons of war, and he's just struggling with his 12-gauge, going pheasant hunting, I think, over the weekend. I think it was a 12-gauge. Anyway, he's just like...
Nothing
reassures him like he's from the Midwest, like he can't load a shotgun.
Oh, goodness. Hotel workers in Seattle have walked off the job. I hope you weren't planning on vacationing there anytime soon. The Unite Here union says that strike will go on until at least October 19th.
That was who again?
Hotel workers in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Hundreds of them.
All right.
And the U.S. now sending more troops and another anti-missile battery to Israel. The Pentagon announced the deployment of additional military forces. Of course, the region still on high alert for possible retaliatory strikes against Iran.
Yeah, Iran had a really, Hezbollah had a really bad drone strike into Israel overnight. Killed four soldiers, wounded dozens, you know, so really bad. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. We had the straw vote for incorporation of Navarre. It failed. It failed bigly. 59% to 41%. And only about 2,000 people voted on a matter that would affect the lives of about 40,000 people. when only 5% of the voters turned, and it was a non-binding, it was a straw vote, it was a non-real, you know, I mean, all the stuff. But as Joel Rudman says, that's it. Matters decided. So incorporation is dead for now in Navarre. And that was even worse of a showing than it had a couple of years ago, I think. But yeah, 59% against is a lot. But again, it's only 2,000 people. How is it possible that 5% of the population of an area affected by a decision makes the decision for them? That's weird, I think.